we join with two disciples today who are walking to Emmaus. For many of us, this walk is familiar. This story is known. For others, it may be entirely new. Whether we've heard it once, 100 times, or never, we can enter this story fresh, with new ears, or as our collect asks, with open eyes of faith. Our reading opens with the words, "Now on that same day," we joined in the middle of something. What same day, we might ask? The reading continues by giving us a geographical placement of where Emmaus is. It is a specific place, and we hear that it's 7 miles from Jerusalem, which must have some relevance. Otherwise, why mention that? More information follows. These two were talking about all the things that had happened. And if you've never heard this story before, or if you don't quite remember the context, you must really feel like an outsider right now. Like someone walking into the middle of a conversation having no idea what is being discussed. Jesus joins them as they are walking along, and this would not be anything of particular significance, but for the fact that that same day that was mentioned in the opening line of this reading was the day of the resurrection, only they didn't know that either at this point. And the events that they had been discussing and debating were the events leading up and culminating with, or so they thought, the crucifixion. Other than these two little details, it might not have been such a big deal for Jesus to join them as they walked. But since he was known to have died just 3 days before, they had absolutely no expectation that it would be Jesus who joined them on their 7-mile journey home. Jesus asked what they're discussing. And after throwing in a barb about him being the only one in Jerusalem who didn't know what had happened, something akin to asking him if he lived under a rock, they told him. He, perhaps retorting to their earlier jab, said, "Oh, how foolish you are, and slow of heart, not to believe what the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into glory?" He continues by retelling them the story from Moses on, reminding them of God's constant engagement in the world, which has come to full fruition in his very own death and now resurrection. And you know, the interesting thing about this whole event up to this very moment? The interesting thing is they still don't know who they are walking with. They still don't see Jesus, even after all of this. Their expectation is that Jesus is not there. He's dead. And so they can't open their eyes of faith to see him. Finally, he joins them at their home, at their table, and takes bread, blesses, and breaks it. And it is in this moment that they realize who has been with them all along. In that Eucharistic moment, they know that Jesus has been walking with them. Had they been there at the Last Supper? Was that what triggered their memory and opened their locked minds and hearts? They had been so blind all this time, so closed to the possibility that Jesus was with them, that they couldn't even allow that to enter into their minds as a possibility. It wasn't until that Eucharistic moment that they could even look back and say, "Didn't our hearts burn within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening scripture to us? Didn't we have everything we needed to see him with us on the road? Everything but open minds and hearts?" Apparently, burning hearts and open hearts are not the same thing. And isn't this story still true for us today? isn't it still difficult for us to see Jesus and know that Jesus is walking with us on our way? In the aftermath of the horrible tornadoes that descended on Alabama during Easter week, it is hard to see Jesus with us. Yes, certainly, Jesus can be seen in the faces of the hundreds and hundreds of folks who have offered aid and assistance to those whose very lives have been turned upside down. But can we know that even in the midst of absolute devastation, that Jesus is with us? Can we open our eyes of faith and our hearts of trust to know that even in the darkest hours, Jesus is right there walking with us? Are our hearts open or are they burning? Some of our brothers in faith have again come forward to claim that God, in his punishing nature, is condemning this part of the country and punishing us for whatever wrongs we are perceived as having. Surely they cannot be listening to what they are saying. Perhaps their hearts are burning, but Jesus is not being seen. In Scripture, do we see Jesus calling down wrath on anyone other than those who hold too tightly to the letter of the law and overlook the intent? Does Jesus condemn any but those who misuse their power and their authority as leaders of the temple, who would rather have seats of honor and places of respect than to care for those who have no one to care for them, primarily at that time, orphans and widows? In this situation, those who have no voice may be those who live in places like Ohatchee or Pleasant Valley or Sawyerville or Hackleburg. Those who aren't high profile. Those who don't have the national recognition that others do. Are our hearts burning or are they open? Can they be both? I think so. The disciples in our story today were not open. Their minds were made up for what they knew to be true, and the possibility that Jesus had risen from the dead didn't enter into that, even though he had told them time and again that this would be what would happen. Death is final, and that was what they knew. And because of that closed way of living in the world, they were not free to see Jesus. I knew a woman once. Actually, I met this woman time and again. She has a different name and face each time I meet her, but she's still the same woman. In this incarnation, let's call her Mary. Mary is a good church-going woman. No, actually, that's too Methodist. Mary is active in her parish life. She's involved in ECW. She makes wonderful casseroles and desserts. She rarely misses a service, and she can tell you exactly what everyone is wearing each time they attend. She wonders aloud why certain folks choose to wear certain shoes with certain dresses. And why on earth does that youth minister dress like that? Someone must not be resting well. Look at those dark circles under his eyes. I heard that Joe and Susie are having problems. They must be. Just see how their children misbehave. Did you see that spot on the rug? And that rail, it looks like it hadn't been dusted in eons. Mary wouldn't know Jesus if he walked up and slapped her in the face. Not that Jesus would do anything like that. What Jesus would do would be wrap his arms of love around her and say something like, "Mary, Mary, you are distracted by so many things." And still, Mary might not be able to know Jesus. She'd be too busy looking for things that needed to be corrected. looking at everything that's wrong instead of everything that's right. If we're always looking at what's wrong, we will never see Jesus, because Jesus is not what's wrong. Jesus is what's right. If we focus on the negative, we will never see Jesus, because Jesus is not negative. Jesus is positive. Jesus is not found in hatred and condemnation. Jesus is found in love and compassion. Are we looking down at the road as we journey? Are we looking to see who it is that's traveling with us? Open our eyes of faith, Lord, and open our hearts of love, that we will ever be focused on you and reflect you to the world. Amen.